This podcast is brought to you by Shout Engine. In less than 5 minutes, you can start your own podcast for free with ShoutEngine.com.
And we're rolling.
Yo, what's up? Hello. Caffeine hasn't quite kicked in yet. This is my third caffeinated beverage of the day.
Yeah.
Bill and I have had a mind-numbing morning. It was not as mind-numbing as it'd be. Bill and I went on a little adventure this morning.
We brought him on mic
and talk. Yeah, like the Lexus was fixed. Straight into it. Hi, how you doing? Lexus was fixed, and what fixed means is today alone, I spent more than double the price of the car on repairs.
Wait.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I wrote for parts, mind you.
This morning, the. Whatever. What was it? Yeah,
there was an email.
The trans went. Obviously, the trans is gone. So, 3 G's for a new tranny, which I might add is shifting beautifully and smoothly.
Did she kick down?
And excellent, but the kickdown's not working.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Rick was like, what the fuck? It worked yesterday. And I was like, it ain't working now, motherfucker. Ugh. And so, it's fine. And the manual downshift works still. But much smoother than before.
To be fair, the kickdown didn't work previously.
It didn't, but they replaced the kickdown cable at a cost of $160.
Oh. Is there like a sensor button?
Rick says sometimes once you use them, they stretch and have to be adjusted.
Like a throttle cable, yeah.
And that he didn't get a chance to adjust it, but yesterday it was working, and now it is not. So that's the list goes on. But new suspension, springs and dampers, new bushings, new rotors, new pads, new fluid, new oil, new air filter, and tire rotation. And damn, is this car driving nice. It is driving nice. The brakes are fucking right now. The handling is good. It's not in the clover. I mean, we only did highways and clover leaves, but like in a clover, like it's all right through a clover. Predictable, not good, but predictable. And when you hit a bump, it goes down and up once.
See, that's what new dampers get you, Matt.
And it's really quiet. There was a vibration before, and like 90% of it is
gone.
Right,
I forgot about that.
It's still there, like a little bit, but it's like much better than before.
That might just be like an unbalanced wheel at that point, though.
It's not an unbalanced wheel. It's an RPM related vibration, and if it was at a 10 before, it wasn't at a 10 before. It was at a this is kind of annoying before, and now it's at you can only feel it on the very glass smoothest of tarmac.
Oh, like, God, nice. We don't have to worry about that.
No, it's much better. Like you can't feel it 95% of the time, but you drive on a super smooth road, and you can tell the difference, you know, on or off throttle. But it's great.
Is my AAA account up to
date? No. The car, I'd go right to New York in it right now. I wouldn't even think twice.
The car is real comfy.
It's fucking, it rides and drives just awesome now.
Has anybody done a compression check on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
This is the one thing, it's the one thing that's left.
No, the motor's perfect. Motor's good. No, nothing wrong. And then there was a little bit of a leak from the valve cover gasket that's been fixed.
Yep. Rear main seal.
The rear main seal is still leaking a little bit.
Yeah, I talked to Rick about that last night. He's like, those fuckers at the transmission shop.
The rear main seal is leaking a little bit. I go, wait a minute. How do we change that? He goes, you got to take the tranny out. I go, the fucking tranny was just out, Rick. And he goes, I know. He goes, the guys at the transmission shop put it back in and didn't change it. And when I went to pick it up, they were like, oh, we thought because you were trying to save money, you wouldn't want to change it.
I don't blame it on them. They could have called, but, you know.
But the seal was like, it's like $50. Like, oh, it's already fucking out. It's
really?
$50. Yeah.
I don't think you saw because you were under the lift when you two were talking about this, but two of his students just sort of like made eye contact and like, and looked down and sort of kicked the floor.
About what?
about the fact that the transit just been off. Yeah. We addressed the rear main seal. They knew you were not going to talk about that.
they're like, I would have done that. Right? I don't know.
It's pretty common.
Yeah. I mean, and So it was, you know, all this shit. Even though, even with a free suspension set from Lexus, free brake set from Lexus, and a free fuel pump from Lexus, and free bushings from Lexus, even with all that shit, mm-hmm. I still wrote a $3,600 check this morning. And free labor. Norco High School, what's up? Free fucking labor from Mr. Radcliffe's auto shop class.
They're the best. They make all my clothes.
They did a good job. They did a good job.
Literally worked for t-shirts.
Yeah,
I brought them Forza and t-shirts, and they were stoked.
I've been selling Nikes made by them for a while.
But, like, we got there early, and they were taking the SATs today. So we had to wait. So we got lunch at, what was the name of the place?
Twisted Gourmet.
Twisted Gourmet, run by a fan named Vince, drives an M3.
Yeah, nice clean M3.
And then we still had a half hour to burn, so we went to like an indoor karting track, like a pole position, and did a race.
Oh, cool. It was electric or gas?
It was electric. It was exactly like every other K-1's California indoor K1, whatever.
I did, I went karting 2 weeks ago, and it was indoor. But they had like two bay doors, so they can say indoor outdoor, mm-hmm. which it's not.
You know, the track don't go outside.
You don't go outside. You know what they put outside? I think you used to, but what they put outside now is a pedal drift trike track that they charge you money for.
Wait,
what? No, I said it right. It's like a drift trike.
I spent $20 on a gas powered drift trike track.
That is worth it.
Power Why don't drift they do that at fucking Adams? Can we go to Adams with powered drift trikes? Troy wouldn't give a fuck.
Of course you could.
Then the powered ones are awesome.
Oh, they've got to be.
The electric
ones? I saw one for sale. It was like $1,800, right?
No, you can do them way cheaper. You can get electric ones.
No, somebody was they were selling them in like a watch store or something.
Oh, don't buy that one.
I was, no. I was at some store, that, at like a California surf store, like a Quicksilver or something, and they had one on a stand.
Oh, that makes sense.
That was like $1,800 and it had a little two-stroke on it.
You can get the kits, like everything's there. You just have to assemble it for like $500. And then the wheels, the electric wheels, you can buy those on eBay for like $300.
That's true.
What do you mean electric wheels?
Well, so I rode like, an electric trike, electric power, and it was rad.
That would probably be good. Why bother with gas?
The bikes going up and down the beach where the front wheels are electric conversion?
Yeah.
Those.
So you put those on the trike?
Yeah.
Sick.
So it's front wheel drive, but no grip in the rear.
I rolled down Washington the other day. I was just driving home from wherever, driving down Washington towards the beach, and there was like 50, 60 fucking thugged out homies on like gangster ass bicycles with the loudest two strokes ripping down Washington, shutting down intersections, like just the trail. It looked like Paris, the trail of smoke, the fucking smog coming off these guys. Oh, and I was on the scooter, and I remember I was like, yo, let me get with this pack and we'll shut it down. And I remember rolling up on the scooter, and these guys, some of them were like, had real fast bikes. There was one guy I couldn't believe I saw this. I swear to God this happened. Homie was rolling like 40 miles an hour. Ding, 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 you know, whipping like down Washington in the bike lane.
Mm-hmm.
No hands on the bike. Head down, texting. Like 40. Like both hands on the phone.
Well, he's the man until he Superman's over a cab.
Yeah. He's self-selecting. He's going to remove himself from the problem.
Dude, but at the same time, I was like, we need to get some two-stroke bicycles.
Those guys ride. They ride up and down the bike path on Venice Beach a lot.
Yeah,
like they ride through Playa del Rey.
There's guys, usually one or two at a time, they'll rip past my house at like 40 miles an hour on the bike path.
Yeah,
it's absurd.
Have you guys seen the electric assist road bikes?
Oh yeah, the ones that go like 50.
Yeah,
but you pedal kind of normal speed.
Yeah, you pedal like normal speed. It gives you electric assist.
Yeah.
Up to a certain speed.
That's the one that's like $6,000, right?
They're a lot.
Didn't we have that conversation on the show? And I thought it was dumb, and you thought it was cool or something.
There's one company that does an electric.
I thought it was cool.
There's one company that does an electric assist mountain bike, where it's basically a downhill bike, but it's an electric.
But you can ride it
so
up.
So you
the
can
hill.
Actually get back up, and then you can ride back up.
That seems kind of cool.
Pedal up
because downhill
move.
Bikes, you can't ride uphill.
I bet you get a lot of regen going down the hill, too.
Yes, you do.
That would be neat. Like an infinite loop regen mountain bike.
My only thought is that because they're so quiet, it's fucking terrifying being a pedestrian anywhere near it. Because in West Hollywood, they're allowed to be on the sidewalk.
Really?
And
you can ride on the fucking sidewalk?
Fucking whipping. Yeah.
Really?
It's weird. LA weird. Bike laws, like, depending
super
on the
super illegal
city,
if you do that in, like, Venice or Santa Monica.
Yeah, exactly. The different municipalities have very mm-hmm. different bike on the sidewalk laws. It's really, really messed up.
I got a
up.
Ticket for wearing headphones on my fucking bicycle.
Nice.
$225.
Yeah, between electric motorcycles and electric assist bikes, like fast moving, completely silent traffic.
You'd think you'd see a ton of those electric motorcycles in LA. I see none of them.
They're expensive.
How much are they?
Remember when we reviewed one with Wes Seiler? It was like $8,000 or $9,000.
Oh, yeah, because you went to see my friend Harlan, right?
I don't know.
He looks like a guy out of the 20s, and his name is Harlan.
Is he the one that runs Hollywood Electric
over
on Fairfax?
Yeah. I went to college with that guy.
Yeah, nice.
And, the Zero bikes are really nice.
It was one of those.
Yeah,
they're sick, but they're a lot.
But Hollywood Electric sells those.
Yeah, that's the Zeros. And those are the ones I see in my neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. That Harlan is like, he's straight out of the 20s with like a weird mustache and everything. He's fucking
it's
legit.
Interesting when you see those electric bikes up in the canyons, too, because it's just like, they fucking move.
I never see
no
them.
Sound.
I'm up there all the time.
You
it's
know what
too
it is?
Far
is the
up
bike
in Malibu,
guys
it's
go
the Hollywood
up,
Hills that you can ride them in.
The bike guys go up there later in the afternoon than you do on a Sunday.
I was up there at like 1:30 with Thad the other day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, usually that's.
I mean,
when
I go at different times.
It's usually cars in the morning, and then bikes start building up in the afternoon. Like you'll go up there, and there'll be like 60 guys on bikes.
But I don't know. Maybe the other bikes are so goddamn loud, I don't notice if one of them is electric. Maybe that's.
Well, and the Zero bikes can't do as many laps on Stunt or the Snake because they'll run out
that's
of juice.
True. Yeah. Like fucking Harrison can't take his Fiat up there.
Yeah. Okay. We're all.
Remember
we
did that Chrysler
off.
Event, and we started at the top of the Snake, and I went down the Snake and back up the Snake, which I think is about a. 4 mile round trip, 4.5 miles, and I whacked like 25 miles off the charge in that car. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, who knew uphill at full throttle would like?
Yeah, I know, right?
A lot of juice.
So the reason Bill and I were a little late to the show is because we stopped on the way back from getting a Lexus to look at a vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course you did.
It was an R33 Skyline, and had 28,000 kilometers on it, and was stock.
Legally imported here?
Well, the ad said California title, California tags, which it had, except
from a Buick.
No.
It's a Nis Motors.
It's a Nissani.
Oh, right. Yeah, Nissani.
The title,
Motors.
See, the title says NISS. So at first glance, you go, okay, Nissan. Except if you happen to have a Nissan, you will know that your title says NISSAN.
Yeah.
Okay?
Which stands
so,
for...
So, of course, I call Nick Hogan, who's now my go-to for GTRs at Manji Garage here in L.A.
I call him when my dad says racist shit on porno.
No. I haven't even had the balls to bring that up. I like talking to Nick about Skylines. So I call Nick and I go, yo, I'm checking out this car. And he goes, okay, look at this, this, and this. So there's a tag... You know, like a buck tag on the firewall that at first glance it says Nissan, but it really says Nissani Motors with a 17-digit VIN number that's like a U.S. VIN number. But then stamped into the firewall is the Japanese 13-digit number. So basically, this car was fucking pretty fresh, though.
Like, yeah, it was nice looking.
It looked great in photos. It was a white, black interior.
Sounded
like
good.
Bride seats. But otherwise stock, it started up, it sounded really nice. But basically Nick Hogan told me that it's a Kaizo car. Like it's one of those cars that was like taken apart and shipped here as parts and like rebuilt title as some kind of custom fit. It was basically a kit car.
Yeah,
it was basically rebuilt. And he's like, you know, you could do it. He's like, but truth be told, like that's kind of the sketchiest way to do it. He's like, 5 years ago, having a Kaizo car was like the most illegal Skyline you could have, and you're kind of rolling. And I was like, okay, no, and then I walked.
No, you could get one, and you could do the South Carolina Doug DeMiro move, and you could have it fine. Like, there's no reason for you,
he
Matt
went through
Farah,
a guy
to do this
like,
risk.
Yeah, no.
Super. He went through a guy that was super reputable for importing Japanese
cars. Yeah, there's companies that do it, and, you know, you have property, like, you could do
Nick,
that.
Nick has he's got a couple fresh ones at his shop, but they're pricey. He's got an R34 that's 85 G's, but it's red. And there was only like 200 red ones ever made or something. Like, it's fucked.
How do you get an R34 legal for U.S.? Is it just under show license? Or
They're on, yeah, whatever it is that they do.
So like the 2,000-mile-a-year thing?
Huh?
So like the 2,000-mile-a-year?
They're not show and display, but they're here. I don't know. They're here. Whatever it is.
I think there was a ruling that the customers who were sold the Motorex cars before anybody knew that there was any malfeasance
going on. Those cars could stay. Motorex cars.
Legit.
But as I thought, you know, when we went to look at this car, I noticed that it had a four-spoke steering wheel
oh, yeah.
that was the same as a Maxima steering wheel. as opposed to the three-spoke steering wheel. And I figured, I was like, oh, maybe it was federalized and someone put this airbagged steering wheel because it was a 95, and I don't remember if it had airbags or not. Nick said, no, that is an original steering wheel. Where are we going with that? Where was I going with the airbags?
Skylines are awesome.
Trying to figure out how it was federalized or if it was federalized.
Oh, yeah, no, but I called Nick and he goes, no, dude, if you see a Motorex car, it's like going out to dinner with a vegan. They'll tell you right away. That's the first thing someone will tell you if it's a Motorex car. He's like, but it's not.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have a Motorex car, it's like an $80,000 car at minimum. Or 200 if it's an.
Because they know, yeah, they know it's a huge asset. So
for the next few years, anyway, and then.
For the next few years, and then the difference will. I imagine a Motorex car will still be, you know, a special thing down the road, just historically.
Yeah.
The same way, like, you know, a Yanko Camaro or something like that. You know, a Motorex Skyline could be a thing in terms of, like, you know, down the road that paperwork shit matters.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If you
get
a car,
that's what I was thinking. This Nissani. It's probably not going to be worth a fucking thing.
It just depends on where you live. And, you know, if you were in Florida, you'd probably be totally fine. And I would have gotten different advice.
But
in California, it's probably not.
When the R33s are legal to import, the value on that car is just going to fall through the floor. Because it's going to be a weird title and everything.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't really looked into what will happen to cars that are already here with sketchy titles after they're eligible. You might be able to get a title company to rebuild the original title or something like that.
Yeah, I wonder if you can yank that new VIN, return it to its original VIN, because that tag's
well, Nick says
be
when they
the
import
tag.
Skylines, they use the 13-digit VIN.
Yeah.
They said if you change it to the 17-digit VIN, it causes a lot of problems, whereas in certain states, Nick's in Florida, in certain states you can get a California, I'm sorry, not a California, you can get a Florida title, and Doug as well. DeMuro's title has a 13-digit VIN.
Florida, you can put a fucking title on a radio flyer. They don't give a shit
exactly.
There.
That's why Florida. It's the only reason Florida's good for anything, frankly.
Yay, Montana, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Montana
and stripper
well.
Production.
But so it's too bad because it's a really fresh car, and this one with such low miles and being stock, I imagine it will probably hold its value pretty well. It wasn't cheap, but it wasn't insanely priced.
Yeah.
It seemed like a lot of car
I know
for
that
the money. It was fucking dope, honestly. Like,
dude,
I'm not the biggest fan of 33s. I still prefer 34s, but you go there and look at it and you go, oh, this is fucking cool.
Yeah, no, and it was clean.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was really nice.
I look at that and I go, given how close we are to 33s being legal, I mean, it's just a few years, realistically, right?
It's 5 years.
We look at that and I go, am I willing to risk whatever the price of this thing is? Let's call it 45
grand.
Yeah, just for the
versus just getting one legally.
You know, am I willing to deal with all the title and ownership problems that
I
come
would be
from
if
that?
I could find an affordable 34 right now. I would be, for
You're
sure.
Right, though. There's certainly a declining reason to take any risk.
Yeah. When you can just wait a few years and be good.
That's the car for the guy who likes to live off the grid and he has, like, you know, an 8-year lawsuit with the government or something.
Yeah.
He's like, don't tread on me. And it's like, this is my R33 wife. Or something like that. The guy that they, like,
it's
surround
his family.
Family. It's like Ted Nugent's R33. Otherwise, don't deal with that. It's not.
It would
be
worth
easy.
It for a 34. Probably.
Yeah. I don't know.
Probably.
Depends on how big the.
For the amount that I would drive it, which is rarely.
True.
I mean, you're talking once a month, probably.
Okay, but remember your DeLorean titling thing. It was a year.
Oh, that was a problem.
Imagine if it was now a car that was not even supposed
that
to be
was a,
here.
No, that, but that, was, that, that became was a problem because plates, I wanted right? to use the blue plates. In this case, I don't give a fuck. Whatever plate they gave me would be fine.
Yeah, I'm just saying the process of going to the DMV multiple times sucks.
Also, by the way, with that Skyline, title or no title, that car ain't passing smog. I mean, period. I don't know how. It's got a plate on it that matches whatever title it's got.
We know there are people that make things happen in that regard. I mean, that's just how it
There's
goes.
Guys who know guys. You could make the Nissani pass, probably.
I felt so duped. I felt so duped when I realized Nissani. Wait a minute. Is that just some weird,
you
like...
We weren't duped. Like, we found it. You're duped when you hand over money, and go, Nissani?
Like the water company?
I was like, is this like some sort of weird, like, Fuji Heavy Industries is Subaru? Like Nissan,
that's
why like
I'm certain that's
Japanese-y
what they want people
sort
to
of
believe.
Nissan
like,
Inc.
Nope.
That's what that is.
They want. I looked at it first when I called Nick. I go, yeah, there's a plate that says Nissan Motorsports on it, and then I was like, wait a minute, it's exactly what they want.
Sure,
it's 100% what someone went for there. Yeah. So that was why we were late, but we got 10 minutes out of content. I figured the worst case scenario, we could at least talk about shopping for an R33.
It'd be so sick to have one.
It was a weird, R32. It was in the middle of fuck all nowhere. And I want to say where it was in case I can bring problems for this guy in his title. But it was on east of downtown, and it was at like a body shop that had some very expensive cars. It looked like the RDB of out there is pretty much what it looked like.
Yes.
I gotcha.
Pretty much an outdoor body shop that was full of really expensive cars in an area that doesn't seem like it should have any of those cars.
They fix them. Someone's got to fix them.
Hey, it's hardware. Like my guy. It's like the body shop I use is fucking Inglewood.
Well, yeah. I mean, body shop can be in a shithole. It doesn't matter.
Well, you're not going to get a fucking body shop put on a fucking Robertson in Beverly. You know,
the body shop. Rolls Royce's body shop was nearby where I keep my cars, and that's on. Not a cheap piece of real estate over there.
And then right behind them, there's a bunch of hidden blocks where the Ferrari repair is.
Yeah, that's up the street from me. Yeah, it's on Cotner.
It's weird. It's like tucked behind. Well, it's not there, though. I mean,
it is on Cotner.
The Ferrari one?
The Ferrari body shop is. Ferrari, Rolls-Royce, and Tesla. No, the Rolls-Royce is like Tennessee, but the other two are on Cotner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Cotner and Pontius there. There's a
bunch of random stuff. Right when on your way to the weed store. It's right on the way to GGR.
Ferrari planned it that way.
Yeah, of course. It's a shame that synergy. I knew we'd find something weird with that title. I mean, I knew it, but. Yeah.
I mean,
we didn't find shit. Nick Hogan.
Yeah.
So it's already pretty much solved that.
Right.
Check out Manji Garage on Instagram. He's got some cool stuff they'd be selling over there. I can buy if I blow up any motor, though, whether it's the Lexus or the Mustang, if that were to happen, Nick Hogan would be getting me an RB26 for sure to go into, because why not?
The Lexus.
If you're going to put a motor into anything, it should be an RB26.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're real good. They're durable as hell.
Speaking of good, Zach and I, not Zach, sorry, Zach couldn't make it because he was a fucking editing room bitch yesterday, but I drove the HPA Golf FT740, which is a 740 horsepower Volkswagen Golf.
Because that's needed.
Yes, it is. Here's the thing about it, though. Here is the thing. That's what I said. When the guy emailed me, like, oh, that's going to be dumb. And then I drove it. Fuck me. These Canadians, these guys are from Vancouver. They're like...
Mackenzie and Mackenzie, right?
They're like, no, Marcel Horn. Yeah. And they just want to build Volkswagens, you know, that go really fast and that nobody looks at twice. And they're wolf in sheep's clothing. Sheep and wolf in sheep's clothing. And so this Golf was an R. Yeah. And it has,
but like a friendly wolf, right?
Like a friendly wolf until you put your foot down, then you shit your poutine right out the fucking back of your pants, and then So here's what happens: you put this thing in drive and you putter around and you go, hey, this is like a Golf, and then you put your foot to the fucking floor, and your vision gets blurry because it is so ludicrously fucking fast. It's a Passat 3.6 liter V6.
That was going to be my first question.
Yeah.
Is it still a four cylinder?
No, it is a V6. It's 11 degree V6.
So yeah, it's a VR6.
It's a VR6, super narrow, and it's built. It's fully built, and it's running like 35 pounds of boost, and
so double the factory.
Yeah,
on a R.
It's got a.
Well, in that block, it wasn't turbocharged.
That block was never a turbo motor.
Yeah.
No,
but I mean, if it was an R, it'd be 1820. Yeah. But yeah,
and it has a dual clutch from a TTRS. It has gigantic half shafts, and it has everything works. Radio, air conditioning, all the gauges, all the electronics. It drives like a fucking Golf, and then all of a sudden, it turns into it's a GTR, but like shrunk down half size. It's the coolest thing in the world.
And with a transmission that doesn't suck.
The transmission is it's very well behaved. The problem was there were no paddle shifters because this was built as a customer car. Mm-hmm. I can't believe this, but he swears up and down it's true. Customers specifically did not want paddle shifters. Don't know why. But that was, I can't fault the builder for
so
that.
So it's a dual clutch with no.
It's a dual clutch with a lever. Okay. With the standard Volkswagen plus minus Tiptronic thing.
Okay. Going the wrong
direction. It's backwards. So up is forward and down is backwards.
Oh, that's wrong.
Which I hated. But, I mean, look, you get used to it after 3 minutes. This car will do 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds and will hit 125 miles an hour in 8 seconds flat.
So Matt spent most of the day as we were driving out to Norco muttering to himself as I would sort of pull on the highway in the S4 about how he had basically just ruined himself.
It's one of those cars. It's like the Venom GT where you come back and you're ruined. Like, because we took the GLA 45 out there, which is pretty quick. After driving the Golf all day, getting the GLA, it felt like I was towing a semi-trailer. It was like, it was ridiculous.
GLA is not a slow car.
It's not a slow car. You could even call it fast. And this, the Golf just ruined it. 2,800 to 7,000, it's so fast that if you don't know what you're doing, you will careen off a cliff.
So does it have, is the turbo lag on that thing serious? And then it's...
No.
No?
No.
It's very linear?
It comes up... Well, it's boost by gear.
Okay.
So if you do a launch, when those clutches engage, you get a four-wheel burnout and first gear, and then that's 500 horsepower. And then when you hit second gear, you get 550. Third gear, you get 600. And then fourth gear, you get 740. So it actually pulls harder upshift. Yeah. Yeah. It pulls harder in fourth than it does in third, which is fucking insane. And because it's a dual clutch and there's no drop in torque, it's almost like a CVT.
Yeah, that's where what I was going to say. Is it just like...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just this, you know, but not loud. Like, it sounds like a stock GTR, which is really, really nutty. And I'm certain it will beat a modified GTR in a drag race. Like a
Quite a bit lighter.
It's
quite a bit lighter.
It's a little bit lighter. GTR is what, 3,800?
Yeah.
This is 36. But okay. it's a more compact, obviously, car. Now, the problem is you're limited by your tires. It's 255s, which makes it kind of, I mean, it's like a GTR, but smaller and a little more manic. Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, and you sit in it, like, the interior is Golf. The whole, you know, they had some, like, Recaro seats. But, like, you're sitting there, and you're kind of, like, high up and sitting straight up. And then you're like, what is going, you're so confused. Because it's not that loud. I don't even think it's that much louder than a regular Golf R, or maybe a Golf R with a little bit of exhaust or something. But it's a six, obviously, so it's a different sound.
Which, that's a really good sounding six cylinder too.
It's a really good sounding, but it's quiet. It's just not very loud, and like, it's so fucking fast. And we were up on the 33, which has like a couple of mile long straightaways. And I mean, allegedly, this car will do 140 miles an hour just repeatedly all day, allegedly, you know, even at 4,000 feet of elevation, it was allegedly so fast that you could almost overdrive the brakes, which
was 380 millimeter brakes. It was amazing the numbers we got out of the computer modeling for this car.
Yeah.
It was just...
How did it feel compared to that New Zealand GTR?
Kind of like that. But with the dual clutch, it's actually faster.
Yeah, of course.
You know, you couldn't drive stick fast enough to keep up. And HVA brought a Mark IV R32 with their single turbo kit on it, and that was 600 horsepower.
That's the first gen R32, yeah, right? I really like that car.
It was dope. I drove it. But it's very clear on the same road that with a stick, there's so much time lost in shifting. Then it's like... Just the time it takes to shift, the other car just would be two lengths ahead of you in any given situation.
And you have to re-spool once you're into gear, too, for the most part.
You can keep it in boost. Yep. You can shift and it'll stay in boost. Yeah. That's cool. But it's the stick one was really nutty, but the dual clutch one, I mean, was so obscenely fast. They're doing some Super Street Tuner shootout thing today at the track. I'd like to see how they do. But
cool.
The car was mental. I mean,
I wonder if the new one's going to get back into Gran Turismo, because the Mark IV.
Oh, is that in Gran Turismo?
Yeah.
It was really, really crazy. And it's a 5-door, and other than aftermarket wheels, just it looks completely stock. You never fucking know. So cool.
That's fun.
And I get the air conditioning cranked all day and the radio on. Like, it was really nice, comfortable. It had, I guess there were KW Street Cup kit or something like that. I don't know, spherical bushings, but like good ride quality. It wasn't too stiff. It was nice, really nice. And I got to keep a low profile because it wasn't like loud. I didn't feel guilty. Sometimes in these cars, I feel guilty really going for it because the cars are so loud. I'm like, we're gonna get arrested. This thing's so quiet. Fuck it. Over and over and over, just so much full throttle.
Quiet goes a long way in keeping attention off you.
Oh, yeah. Man, this thing was so fast and so quiet. It was like a GTR that was just a lot more fun.
Well, it's like I can be driving like at 20 miles an hour and I'll get people screaming at me to slow down.
Yeah. It's crazy how much power you can make for how little noise this thing makes. You look at that and like an Alpha 4C and you guess which one has more power by revving them. You guess the Alpha's like, no, that one has triple the power. Sorry.
Yeah.
It was super cool.
Well, that was like in college when everybody's wanted to build a big block with a turbo on it, but then put like six mufflers behind
it.
Just so it would be dead silent.
Yeah. This HPA told me that they built a twin turbo VR6 EOS with all wheel drive. And he said it does 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and runs the quarter in 10.4.
That's the first time that car has ever been good.
And he says that he's like, this guy bought it and got it in this super feminine color and just goes and trolls people in sports cars like all the time.
That's funny.
He said it's like it's dead silent. He's like, you pull up to and never fucking know, and it'll just light people up and shoots fire. It's like, that's the perfect car.
Yeah, you want fire.
Yeah.
Silent and then fire.
I want an EOS with 600 horsepower.
I don't want an EOS.
That would be fun.
I'd do something else. But I get it.
It'd
I like
be
that
fun,
guy.
Though, yeah.
It'd be fun to see that package in a Jetta. Everything would be the same.
Or
other than
like one of those Cabrios.
Yeah, a bitch basket.
White Cabrio.
A Cabrio
with
be,
a white
would be
top.
The one. Yeah.
The L.A. Beverly Hills high school chick from the 80s.
That's
car.
Like Paul Newman. Like, that's what Paul Newman did with his little Beetle. The V8 in the middle.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Under that hump? Like a boat?
It looked like a ski boat.
Yeah, it did. This is like leather-covered things. Like, oh, don't look at that.
Don't look at that giant hump in the exact middle of my
it's
car.
It's a reverse doghouse. That's what it is.
What?
Doghouse is where you cut in the van in the front where the engine is.
Oh, yeah.
Doghouse.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So, yeah. What the fuck else was going on? I don't know. The Volkswagens were nutty. They were super cool.
They make good stuff. I remember that video back in the day. It was like an R32 with their 700-horsepower car. And did like a half-mile pull, and it was laying smoke from the tires, like three gears, all-wheel spin, and then just hitting some ungodly speed.
That was a front-wheel drive car, right?
That was front-wheel, I don't know. It was silver, and I think it was because they slid it later in the video. It was mental. They just build them crazy fast.
Their cars are really, really,
really good.
And they rolled up with a with their actual World Challenge transporter because they were on their way to this thing. And it's like,
whoa.
They rolled up with a giant semi truck to unload these cars. Yeah, they're hardcore, man. They drove 21 hours from Vancouver to have us film these
cars. Where
were
they headed to?
They're on their way to Fontana for a Super Street event. Some tuner shootout thing, but it was today, and they came like a day early and drove 21 hours straight so that we could film the car.
It's too bad that more people here don't buy their cars. It's because it's just a lot of money for a Volkswagen.
That 740 is a $95,000 Golf. Mm-hmm. It'll take a GTR.
I'd buy that and kick the shit out of every 911 Carrera owner in this town.
But the thing is you'd buy that and you don't have $95,000. Most people that have $95,000 to spend wouldn't buy a fucking
The other one, the R32, was built for a guy in Trinidad who shipped the car to Vancouver, and they're shipping it back, but the guy said I could drive it. So,
but that's the thing. It's like when you get like the AMS packages and stuff like that, those are going, they target, or the Hefner packages and stuff, they target those expensive cars, so it's a little easier
to
buy the car.
Yeah. I know, I get it. They said they
did well when the economy went bad and people still had some money, but they didn't want to be seen buying some exotic car. Said they'd build a 600 horsepower R32 that didn't draw any attention. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool.
So did HPA cause the collapse?
They did. It was their fault, yeah. They also had a touchscreen display that you could fuck with the diff in real time. Which was neat.
That's like, fun.
Whoa. Yeah, you could send more power to the back.
How much could you go to the back? Like max?
I think like the standard was 60-40 front rear, and you could do it up to like 60-40 the other way.
Pretty good.
Yeah. It was
neat.
I
wonder what were they using for a diff and everything for the
I don't know.
New Haldex.
It was some kind of upgraded Haldex thing.
I guess that would make sense. I mean,
I can't believe that
the parts have to be everywhere.
I can't believe that they have a gearbox that holds that, like a dual clutch that holds 740 horsepower and a transverse fucking design.
That's
like
crazy.
That's
well, you
nutty.
Said they took a TTRS, right?
Yeah, it's a built TTRS
well,
gearbox.
I mean, you take a good transmission shop and they'll cobble anything together.
That's a lot of power to be like,
yeah,
can
no,
you guys
they do
this
all
out?
This guy. What was the HGP? Was the I think I'm gonna fuck it up. I think it's HGP in Europe that does these like race clutch packs for the TTRS that don't fuck up like the yeah. feel or the engagement.
It's like a special make. Build for sure.
It's it feels like a stock gearbox, but it just handles more power. I mean, I did four launches, like full. It has launch control, like. I did it. It dumps it at 3,300 and fucking roasts all four tires. It's
super
cool.
Speaking of special builds, the Mighty Car Mods guy just put out a video where they did a. It's like 45 minutes. It's an in depth. They buy an old Beetle, and then they make it fucking 11 seconds with a WRX motor. It's fucking bad. They do some nice fabrication in there. It's a good video. It's a good watch.
45 minutes. I won't make it through that.
Let's go to the end.
Let's go to the end.
Scrub through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't believe 100,000 people just watched a video that I made with a $500 Nissan Access. In 24 hours, it's 100,000 views.
Oh, the one you were showing me the other day?
Yeah. Thing had a toilet in the back of it. Yeah. I should only do shit boxes now.
That's not a toilet sitting in the back of it. A toilet built
it had
into
a toilet
the back
built
of it.
In the car.
They
yeah.
just dump out the bottom?
Yeah. But awesome. They said at 45 miles an hour, you get some blowback.
Yeah.
Yes. Have you ever been in a porta potty in a windy day?
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
the opposite of an airplane shitter.
Updraft of poo.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That could be addressed with a little arrow. Although I wouldn't want to be the an person driving behind him.
Extractor scoop.
Knack a duck.
Yeah. create a negative pressure zone.
Exactly.
Draws yeah. it out.
Venturi for
I don't want.
Which would actually I know how to do it right now.
I'm not carrying that payload around in my car.
That payload.
Oh, I didn't mean to make that pun. I just don't want, funny. Like, yeah, no, I'll dump it later. Like, it's in there.
Oh, you know what
would
be really funny is if you put dual exhaust tips on the back, but one of them was just for shit.
Oh, nothing would ever
You
be
should
funny.
Buy yourself a van and, Brand, just build a mobile shitter.
Of all the things in my life, I don't need a van.
You do. Might improve your sex life.
He looks suspicious enough.
Yeah, I don't know, with that beard.
Yeah, I don't need
it. He doesn't go outside much. Works from home. Has a van.
They found Lamar Odom in a unconscious at a Pahrump brothel.
Who?
Lamar Odom.
That? Basketball player.
He was the basketball player that was like engaged to Khloe Kardashian.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to laugh because the man was doing drugs to excess in a brothel in Pahrump, but...
Rough.
He was. I mean, we were, you know.
He's in a coma at this point.
Yeah. He'll probably be dead by the time shit. We air this.
Oh,
maybe.
He was doing, like, lots of real drugs.
Whatever it was he was doing, there was a lot of it. Because he's a giant. Imagine how much fucking drugs he's
taking. Apparently, he's had a lot of health problems, too, beyond just that kind of shit. I mean, he's one of those giant. He's 35 years old, but he's, like, 7 feet tall. Yeah. Those guys don't have
he has a lot of money,
life.
Right?
Had.
Okay.
I don't know if he has money now.
Really?
I don't know.
I was thinking, like, you'll escape Kardashians, just you'll go to Pahrump. It's better.
Yeah.
And
no,
I was there last week. It's not good.
It's not good.
Yeah. He was playing until
That's the only reason people are going to be like, why are they talking about... We're only talking about Pahrump because it's where Spring Mountain is.
Yeah. He was playing
it's
until
track
like two
that we
or three
go
years
to
ago,
lot.
So he's still got money.
He has more than Pahrump money. He should have done something better with it. You don't want to go out like that.
He was at Dennis Hoff's ranch.
And apparently
ranch.
He wasn't staying...
Oh, okay.
He was staying in Dennis Hoff's place.
At his ranch.
Yeah, but like in Hoff's house, not in the ranch
itself.
Well,
I read VIP. Maybe that's what that means. There, the VIP there. You just stay at Dennis's.
I wouldn't
crib.
Touch any of the furniture in that dude's house. And Dennis seems like a very nice guy, and his show's funny. But
I met that guy once. He was wearing a mirrored coat. It was amazing. Oh, man. I met him at the Playboy Mansion when we went.
Oh, really?
When I went. Yeah, he was there.
Holy crap, I don't remember that.
Oh, you were busy doing things I couldn't do then. So.
I feel like you shake his hand and it would stick.
he seemed to be really having a good time.
He's always smiling, and
he's always
I can't
happy.
Understand why.
Speaking of Playboy, you guys see that
they had no more tits?
Yeah, no more boobies in Playboy.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that lasts about 2 months.
Why?
No, actually, so I got a friend from college that works there. They've been planning this for a while. Their entire sort of thought about it is like, you want porn? There's plenty of porn. You can find it. Don't worry.
True.
That they want to sort of broaden their readership because the articles... Actually,
well, they've always know, had.
They've always
they want to sell magazines to women.
They want to sell more magazines. They don't want to have the stigma of the nudity because we're such a fucking weird puritanical culture.
Wow.
And they want to just be able to sell them over the rack the way everybody else does because they're one of the few magazines that still has decent production numbers.
Smart idea.
And could potentially stay profitable.
No, because no one's buying that to jack off anymore.
That's true. I haven't jacked off to a Playboy since about 1994.
Yeah, jerk off digitally. I don't know.
Hey, why do you think the iPod Mini came out?
Oh.
Apple Watch. Every time I see someone with an Apple Watch, that's all I'm thinking.
Picture keeps moving, though.
People keep trying to get me. Like, when you get your Apple Watch, go fuck your Apple Watch.
When? Fuck your presumption.
Haptic feedback.
Yeah.
got enough stuff.
Hey, you know what? It was
You like it?
I got it. It was $100 more than a Fitbit. So
I'm not mad, but yeah, the people were like, "When you get like yeah. really?"
When it's not that. I don't care if you wear an Apple Watch.
Yeah,
but it's the like your three people have been like, "When you get one, you'll see that."
Oh yeah, yeah. At the high school today, one of the students and Rick had yeah. them, and the presumption was that like you want one, but you haven't got one yet. And it's like yeah. and he's just like, "No, I think it's stupid." It's like my phone is four inches from my wrist.
Heroin's like, only $4 a hit, and I'm like, that's what was keeping right. me from doing the heroin.
What happened
the price.
To Steven?
Yeah.
Steven. Dude, shut the fuck up, man.
Yeah, yeah
that's like, myself asking
he's a,
about Steven.
He's a teenager with his name
he
on the wall.
He wasn't a teenager, he was 30. Yeah.
What?
When Bill and I were in New Jersey, there was a big wall across from this mural. Deli yeah. that was an R.I.P. Steven something, and his death date was like 5 days before
we were sitting there.
I was like, that's like 4 days ago. What the hell? And I asked the lady at the deli, like, oh, what happened to Steven? She was like, heroin. Apparently, yeah. there's a lot of it in New Jersey.
There's a lot of it in the northeast.
You know, it's cold there.
Vancouver, Maryland, it's like a big problem.
Pick places that have shitty weather and heroin.
Anywhere that's really cold, they always have
and
big
doesn't have
problems.
Legal weed. Yeah. Legal weed reduces heroin use.
You stay inside,
even,
it's great.
But the thing is even parts of New England do, and they still have a huge heroin problem.
Well, they fucking live in New England. I mean, it's fucking cold there.
It's cold there. I live there. In New England.
You're like, huh,
literally
I can't go outside. What am I going to do for
Catholic
the next
repression.
6 hours?
Personally, I like, yeah. to smoke weed and go to the garage
like to
and work
outside.
On a project car. Yeah. But, you know
when you live inside for 6 months out of the year and you can't see because there's so much snow it's covering your windows.
That's like if you ever go to Nantucket in the summer and then Nantucket in the winter. Oh. They are two separate places. They are, in the summer, it's pink polo shirts, loafers, yachts. In the winter, it's heroin and more heroin and really depressed people walking around on heroin. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. I've been in the winter. It's crazy. You can't believe it's the same place.
It's cold.
It's really cold.
That wind.
When you're on an island.
The Cape in general, it just gets wind from all sides.
Yeah, it's horrific. Is it break time? It feels like it's break time.
It's about that, yeah.
All right, that's good. My bladder tells me it's break time. We'll be back. We had things to talk about. Do we have anything else to talk about?
M2. I mean, there's questions. New Ferrari.
I didn't make any questions. You know, did you make questions?
No, I asked people to
submit
questions.
Oh, thanks for doing a good job.
Did it like 2:15.
Fuck.
All right.
Found on road dominating. Oh, sorry.
That's how we're starting.
Oh, we gotta do this, though. I got this thing. We can start with Forza 6. Forza Motorsport 6. It's dope. I just gave a bunch to the kids at Norco High School. I hope they play.
They were so excited.
In good health. Yeah, they were fighting over them. It's a crazy, awesome racing game. It's got about the most realistic weather I've ever seen. The night mode is crazy. There's so many cool cars. They sent us a bunch of money, which was nice of them.
Digital money.
Digital money. Fake money. So I celebrated by buying a 250 GTO. It's brilliant on Spa. Really good fun. Good car to slide around, actually. On the little skinny tires. It's got stunning realism at 1080p, 60 frames per second. The danger of intensity of night racing comes alive under the stadium lights of Daytona and the blackness of Le Mans' backstretch. There are 450 Forza Vista cars, 26 world-famous locales, so many cool tracks, including a bunch in America if you're used to doing track days around the U.S., online leagues, so much. Friend us at TST Racing. You can see our drivatar and sometimes actually us racing around. Forza Motorsport 6 is available exclusively for Xbox One and at leading online retailers and electronic stores nationwide. For more info, check out ForzaMotorsport.net. WheelWell.com is the automotive social network you've been looking for. It's always been a cool place to organize your own cars and learn about the cars around you. They're coming out with new features. They have a new search engine, so you can search by any modification or any car, or even you meet a guy named Steve who's got an Evo, you can find
that.
Can
you search by toilet trunk?
You can probably search check off the toilet box, okay. And you find that. That access is on WheelWell. If you want to do a one take, send me your WheelWell page to matt@thesmokingtire.com or to on Facebook or through WheelWell, whatever, however you want to do it. Send me that link to your car. We'll take a look at it. The biggest news out of WheelWell is there is a mobile app coming in the next 60 days. So I'm excited for that. Then I can do it on the road. They have a mobile optimized website, but it's not the same. Apps are the shit. when it comes to that kind of stuff. Dylan Optics is the official eyewear of the Smoking Tire, those cool glasses you always see me wearing. Go to thesmokingtire.com and click on the Dylan banner. If you buy a pair, send you a free t-shirt as a thank you from us. And Harry's Razors, they are, we got a bunch of them. Did you get some, Zach?
Mm-mm.
Oh, they're right. There's a bunch in that box right there. You should take a starter kit.
Sweet.
Harry's Razors are great. It's a mail order razor company. You can join one of their plans, and they'll automatically send you stuff every month, or you can buy a la carte, as it were. And no, it's good. I've been shaving with them. I like their blades. What's cool with them is they make their own blades. They don't outsource it. They make all their own stuff, and so they have control of the quality and the supply chain, as it were. Harry's.com was started by two guys who are passionate about creating a better shaving experience. I've enjoyed my shaving experience so far, especially their shaving cream. Their shaving cream is really nice. And for listeners to the show, Harry's giving you $5 off your first purchase of a starter set with coupon code TIRE. After entering code TIRE at checkout, you can get Harry's starter set for just $10. A month worth of shaving for just $10 with code TIRE. For that, you get three blades, a nice handle, some shaving cream, some aftershave. It is sweet. Say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables and say hello to Harry's. High-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to harrys.com right now and enter code TIRE at checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. That's harrys.com, code TIRE. Lastly, October 24th, 9 p.m. Eastern, is the premiere of Esquire's Car of the Year, featuring myself, Spike Ferriston, Sam Smith, and Brian Vickers, testing the best in sports cars, coupes, sedans, and SUVs, trying to find the best car of the year. It's fun. They got us an Airfield. In the first episode, I drift the fuck out of an AMG GTS, and Brian absolutely scares the shit out of me in the Viper ACR. As he proceeds
to set... So the poutine was everywhere once
again.
Yeah.
He set a track record by accident with me in the car while we were doing our in-car, which is how fast he was going in the ACR.
He was ripping.
He was whipping. And that's coming October 24th at 9 o'clock on Esquire Network. I don't know what percentage of it will be available online. I'm sorry. Anyway... Zach bought an E30 for $2,500, $2,100.
$2,000 from a girl who had it since she was 16, and I don't think she'd changed a tire since then, and she's 28 now. We picked
so it was
up.
Like your tire.
Did she have the motor radials
way, dude,
on there?
We picked it up, and Musto was like, we brought extra wheels, and he's like, well, we could change them now, or we change them in the house. And I was like, did you say one has a nail? He goes, well, those two have nails, and that one has a bolt in it. I was like, we'll change them now! Like,
a bolt in it? That's
a
impressive.
Bolt, like a real, like a stuck-in
really?
Fucking 916
well,
bolt.
Amazing.
And he was like, I was going to drive it back, because I was taking ownership of it, and he didn't, like, mention that two out of three tires.
That's
punctures.
So fucking bad.
Like, we're changing them now, man.
But you got some BFGs.
We got BF Goodrich KOs on it.
Like,
the most
that's like they're
tire
like Raptor
ever.
Tires.
They are.
They're smaller versions of Raptor tires.
Much smaller.
It looks
they're
mean.
Awesome. It does look mean.
Really dirty with those tires on. Just like okay. There
but
it
now
is.
You're done filming
here,
with
right?
it. You're
what
selling
the fuck is
it,
that?
Right?
Yes. No, yeah, we're done filming with it, so I'm going to sell it. It's so slow, man. It came with like 111 horsepower stock.
It's an E,
I know a
right?
certain ginger that might be interested in that car.
Who?
Who?
Caswell.
No,
oh,
he won't
yeah,
want
if he has
it.
Money.
Yeah.
But
he won't want that thing.
You know, he's got his Baja. He's the Baja Pig's way better.
Yeah.
And, like, faster. No, this car's slow as shit. But, dude, it off-roaded. I mean, it...
Yeah, I mean...
It legit.
Well, the thing you had to do wasn't nearly as hard as all cars go to heaven.
No.
I mean, not even
wasn't.
Close.
It, so, 60%. We
yeah,
went over
it was,
bigger rocks with all cars for longer.
We drove 1,000 miles off-road and all cars go to heaven.
Musto drove... He drove from SF to here, then we drove to Pahrump, then we drove over the mountain, then we drove back in it. So we did a lot of miles,
yeah.
Not as much off-road. And when we told him the boulders we hit in all cars, he was like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. You don't, we don't have ground clearance. Just banging off the door sill. Yeah. Just keep going. Yeah. It was fun until I was filming like a drive-by, and he got stuck for a minute, and so he just spins the tires, and I just turned my head away and
blasted.
Got nailed with so many rocks.
Oh, that's shitty.
Yeah.
That sucks.
But I think everybody...
How many miles are on that car?
238.
Oof. Yeah.
And how was the condition after you guys were done?
Better. Yeah. Tires are new for one. Okay. Fewer bolts and nails. It's got a skid pad.
See, fewer bolts is actually usually a bad thing.
They put
thing
a skid
a
plate on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's got awesome mud livery.
Yeah.
Which actually looks pretty cool.
Are you driving it or has it just been sitting right here?
I drove over like one day.
But
it's been 100 degrees here. I saw it like a few days ago and I was like, I don't know why it didn't occur.
You go, that looks like it would be something that
has to have belonged to someone here.
In this office.
And then Harrison told me, I was like, fucking of course it does.
Yeah. Dude, but everyone should buy those tires for, like, they're just comfortable.
Yeah.
They soak up everything.
Yeah, for LA.
Slide nice on tarmac, too.
You know what? They did once. I had a big momentum turn to catch up with Musto.
Should we get some for the Lexus?
Actually,
Lexus would probably ride great.
It's time for tires on my Fiesta.
If they'll fit, these are 14s, smallest they make. They're all pillowy,
yeah.
And they're quiet on the road, no joke.
How's the handling?
I mean, how fast do you want to take a corner? But, you know how it is, like,
yeah,
cheap
know,
car,
I
go
know.
Off-roading, do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
If you have a shitty car, off-road it.
But with a set of four tires for that car is a quarter of the price of the car.
True. More.
Thank you, BF Goodrich Budgets.
Yeah, it's fun, though. If it was more reliable, I would keep it.
So I need to get new tires for the scooter.
But BF Goodrich.
No, Michelin makes a super sport
scooter
tire for the scooter.
They indeed do.
Because the Zuma has, like, knobby tires on it now.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like driving on an off-road tire. But I'm just like, I don't need that shit. Like, let me get some stickies on this bitch.
I got sport tires on my Vespa. It's wonderful.
Is it awesome?
It's great.
Yeah. Oh, it's got to be the best.
Yeah, no, because there's the old school scooter tire with, like, the little white wall and whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, just actual tire technology.
Well, this thing, I feel like this thing was designed to be semi-capable on dirt,
at least. Yeah, it's so you can take it camping or down a dirt road or whatever and be comfortable.
Right. I'm not ever going to do that. Whereas I might want to take it to the canyons at least once.
I
feel like a nice Michelin tire. I'd be comfy, right?
Yeah, probably.
Get some frame sliders and some knee pucks. And
the only thing that might be a little hairy in the canyons is those brakes after a while go down the
canyon.
Oh,
I bet they're shit.
They're scooter brakes. They're adequate for a scooter.
I took that Vespa 150 in the canyons once.
Up the snake.
I can get up the snake.
No, I'm sure you
can.
It
has enough power that I can accelerate uphill.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Yeah. You're gearing limited to 60. It's not power limited.
Right. I saw 56 in it. Yeah. That's the highest I've seen so far.
Wind resistance.
Feels fast on a scooter, doesn't it?
56 is quick on that. Yeah. Well,
how big are the wheels on that? Are they 12-inch or 10-inch?
No.
Well, are they bigger than a vintage Vespa?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. but slightly.
Yeah.
So there might be 11s inch. Or 12. Yeah. It might be. I think the same wheels you'd get on a Vespa, like 250.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
But
it's
then it's got more sidewall
inch.
Than a Vespa as well. Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
Vespa,
I got that.
Scooter talk.
Going downhill at Palos Verdes at one point, I hit almost 70, and I'm like, this is
sketchy
as fuck.
On a big hill, I could see how 70 would be a very realistic
thing. I could
thing.
Hit 50 on a regular bicycle going down those hills. Yeah. Never mind, with a motor assist.
I did 56 leaving the airport on that big open road that turns into Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Coming north with Sepulveda.
Oh, I used to go back and forth.
I got to go in there. And it was sort of like, this is kind of like a highway, but it's not.
And your brain looks at this tiny wheel is like, too small for this.
Well, the thing is you get, when I had that, you get real aware of potholes.
Yeah.
Real aware of potholes.
Everything.
I have to do the post, like on a horse.
Yeah.
Once in a while you post.
Every once in a while.
Over the rain gutter.
I also, in order to maintain maximum comfort, often sit on what I think is the rear seat.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to
it's nice because on that thing
yeah,
you can
get,
slide
I can
back
stretch
and forth.
My legs out a bit from the rear seat.
You feel like you're on
like
a chopper.
Riding like a hog.
On yeah. High speed.
It's true.
You know they actually make, there's a guy that makes pegs so you can actually ride it like a
hog. Oh.
Hoggy highway peg.
Ooh, except it probably makes it wider, you think, right? You
might
not wider than the handlebars.
It's just a couple inches.
Yeah, rundle cooling is not to be discounted.
Because we saw a guy yesterday, Harrison and Steven were in the car, and on Jefferson, he had taken a ruckus and stretched it and
yeah,
had a pipe on it and stuff,
yeah.
And you're like, that's a $4,000
big
ruckus.
Yeah.
You go,
someone once told
stupid.
Me that I should buy a ruckus and put a turbo on it, and I was like, well, that sounds interesting, and I was like, what do you get? And he goes, well, a ruckus is like, 4 horsepower, and you'd get 6.
Six, like, more or total?
Total! Okay. So he's like, it's 50% more!
Go home. Go home.
Wow. You know, as we do whenever we buy anything, we go and look around just to see what people have done to them.
Yeah.
There's in Asia, that is, they sell that as, I think, the BWS, right? Which is
the
huge.
The Zuma scooter?
Yeah.
They race them over there.
Hugely popular. Yeah. There. So every part you can imagine, like, a stroker kit for that's like $300.
Well, everyone, when I said I had a Zuma, everyone was like, is it the two-stroke? And I'm like, no, it's not the two-stroke. It's like, oh, I guess
so.
I guess the two-stroke, there's a two-stroke 125 of this in Europe and Asia.
Two-stroke.
And apparently
is,
it's really fucking
they
fast.
Used to, they the used to sell it here. It's, from what I understand, it's not actually any faster. It just seems like it's a two-stroke.
Maybe, yeah. It's possible.
What yeah, no, two-stroke is the holy grail for the scooter community for the most part. You know, because it's harkening back to the Vespas and Lambrettas. Yeah.
I would argue that a car is the holy grail for the scooter community.
Point taken, sir.
Or motorcycle.
Like, I don't, yeah.
So I have a funny scooter story, if I may.
Go ahead.
Is there anything but?
When I, exactly. So I bought this... Vespa, when they stopped production of the PX series, which is the old four on the handle with the clutch and the, like, you swivel your left hand for first, second, neutral, third, fourth.
Whoa.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's crazy. It's an actual shifter
on
the wrist.
Oh, like the weird mountain bike clickers? Okay.
And
that's
then
actually kind of a cool idea.
And because you've got floorboards, the rear brake is a pedal for your right foot, like a regular motorcycle, but it's inboard, right? So... I had just come to L.A., and I didn't realize that I couldn't get to and from Santa Barbara without the 101.
Yeah.
Right? Ooh. So I was, like, dicking around up through Ojai into the mountains, whatever, and I got up to Santa Barbara. I had my weekend up in Santa Barbara, and I was like, I'm going to take the direct route back. And it's the freeway.
Yeah.
And thank Christ it's downhill from Santa Barbara into Oxnard. But, I didn't really understand how two-strokes worked at that point because it was my first. And I understood sort of that the throttle being open is key to lubricating.
Yeah.
So, like, high speed downhill.
Like coasting.
Coasting is awful for the motor. Huh. So I'm just ripping
it. Are you supposed
to
put it in neutral and then it idle?
Getting into neutral means going past third, which could be sketchy at those. Yeah. Like it, so I ended up basically just pulling in the clutch and coasting at like 70 miles an hour down that hill. And I topped out. I had my little GPS on my phone on in my pocket, and it's like 72 miles an hour on a 150, and I was just like, this is not just fucking terrifying.
I have one of those three-wheeled Piaggio things, the MP3s.
Those are weird.
Which are weird, but really fun to ride, and I did 110 miles an hour in one once.
Oh, my God.
They're fucking fast. I did it was the 500.
Yeah.
It's a Rotax 500, and they're fucking quick. And
yeah, it's the really same motor neat. That's in a bunch of motorcycles.
They're so cool. When you come to a stop, you press a button, and it locks it upright. So you just sit there and
you don't even have to touch.
You don't have to put your feet down. You just, as you come to a stop, press the lock button. And what's weird is whatever angle it's at, locks. So if you're a little over and you press lock, it's going to stay there. But you press lock, and then when you hit the throttle, it just unlocks and you go.
Huh.
That's great. It was the one of those things that was like, you kind of don't want to be seen riding it. It's sort of nerdy or whatever, but it dynamically was excellent.
But when you're
in
a scooter, you just say, fuck it, because you're on a scooter.
Yeah.
Totally.
Everybody thinks that you're an idiot on a scooter, but that's okay.
I'm not an idiot on my scooter.
To be honest, the night that I had enough of that scooter was when I was coming back from your old place, and there was a truck full of guys. It was like a lawn care truck.
Yeah.
And they decided it was going to be funny to see who could hit the guy on the scooter with spit.
Oh,
and that was the night that I had enough.
Yeah.
I always kept a handful of change for instances like that because of the glove box. And then I also had an altercation or two with motherfuckers on the street.
Spark plug pieces.
Spark plug pieces are good. Wrench pieces.
You feel like a wizard.
Poof. No window.
No window. Exactly.
So where were we?
Scooters are fun. They are fun. But if you're going a little too fast, I feel like you should have a motorcycle. Like if you need to go 50, I don't want to be topping out and having to go. Like I'd rather have some room.
The real issue, like from a safety standpoint, right, is that getting rear-ended on a two-wheel vehicle is the most dangerous collision you can have because the broken back factor is so high. So the way that you deal with that on a motorcycle is you have get the fuck out of the way power all the time, right? Because they're so much faster than the rest of traffic around them. So managing on a motorcycle, you should be moving slightly faster than ambient traffic. You just can't fucking do that at like 55 on a scooter.
No, but I can do it. But I can do it. But I can do it all over LA.
Yeah, LA traffic.
I mean, I don't. I'm not going to like beat a sports car in a drag race, but I will beat a sports car at the speed most drivers leave traffic lights in LA.
And that thing, it's just enough power that you can beat most cars off the line.
Yep.
Probably from 0 to 20, you could probably beat most normal cars off the line.
Well, by the time you're doing that, people are just driving normal speed.
Yeah. The key to not being an asshole in traffic when you're lane splitting and filtering is don't start and then be slower than traffic. Get on.
If you're going to, point of that is to go get out ahead.
But the best thing with the scooter is, though, is you can do 55 everywhere.
Yeah. I use throttle more than any other vehicle I've ever
had. I don't think I ever use it anything less than full throttle.
No, it's fucking great. Fast, I really enjoy that scooter. It's really fun to ride.
I'm glad you're getting more use out of it because I didn't use it for the better part of a year.
It's a little tough. I don't really have much room in my garage for it. And so, like, I kind of... It's like it's hard to maneuver out around the side of cars a little bit, but whatever.
It's nice to see you wearing proper gear too.
Got some jacket.
Most 50 on a scooter is the same as 50 on a motorcycle when you eat shit.
I got a jacket and a helmet.
Good, because you know how many people do that? None.
Yeah,
they're like it's a Vespa. Oh, it's dude, cute. Vivo, like cute European tourists fix shit
with like
not
half,
even European
half
tourists,
helmets, flip flops. Like,
I would say I saw a guy on a scooter today coming here wearing a digital camo backpack and blue scrubs. Ironically, and we're doing 45. And like, scrubs are thinner than, I don't know, fly as pubes, dude. Like,
jacket, helmet, at the very least. That's about all I'm willing to wear on a scooter.
Gloves are nice, too. But
if it were colder, it's like 90 fucking degrees outside.
Gloves make you feel like a superhero.
I can't bring myself to wear carbon knuckle on a goddamn scooter.
That's right.
I lost my carbon knuckle gloves. I have no idea where the fuck they went.
I have those from when I had a motorcycle, but I can't bring myself to wear them things on a scooter. I feel like a fucking
idiot. I got them at a certain point. I got them at a certain point when I had a couple.
What am I, an asshole?
I had a couple of really aggressive drivers, and at his, at Zach's advice, he's like, get those, and then you can smash windows and mirrors if you need to.
Someone the other day tried to tell me, it might have been fucking you, Bill, that I should wear my motorcycle boots on the scooter?
Certainly not.
Someone told me that, and I was like,
Juju on me.
Are you fucking crazy?
Are you fucking Wolverine?
Walking around like I'm in fucking ski boots all day?
I don't even wear motorcycle boots on my motorcycle.
On a motorcycle, I do because, I don't know.
I wear, like, motorcycle sneakers. They're reinforced, but they don't look like motorcycles.
Yeah.
I can't wear... In L.A.? Come on. It's too...
I hate... That's why I don't like motorcycles. I don't like dressing up every time I gotta fucking go out somewhere.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I feel like your real worry is like you get rear-ended at a stop sign. Like that's, I don't think people get rear-ended in traffic and have to get out of the way. I think you're stopped and someone just goes and just hits you.
That's why my jacket's white. At the very least, I have a white jacket.
Yeah,
it doesn't look great,
but
it's fucking nice and white.
White's cool.
I just put some high-vis stuff on the BMW. I've got a 1200 Adventure.
Well, the big thing is the LED taillights and everything now make a huge difference. You get super visible.
We don't have that.
No, but they're $10.
That would be nice.
You know? Should we swap out the lights to LEDs?
It's $10.
I modded the minivan interior lights with LEDs. They were great. Remember that?
Yeah.
I got the super bright LEDs. It was like daytime in there. Those were the shit. That was a $13 modification.
So when I came back, I'm not trying to bring it up, but like came back from Burning Man, my bike was still all like lit up, and I biked downtown for dinner in Santa Cruz. And I rode back, and I'm like, I'll just leave that wire on there, and I'll take it off later. And then I rode back in the darkness and went, well, I put the lights there so I don't get hit by cars in the desert. Why do I not care about getting hit by cars in town?
There are more cars.
Why would
here?
I take this shit off? And why don't we all have way more of this? It's way darker in Santa Cruz than L.A. also.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are we doing that?
We drove the road we came back from last night. The GLA, last thought on the Mercedes GLA, the headlights were aimed too low. I don't know if it's just the car we had or if they're all like that, but you could outdrive the lights like very, very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And like driving in the carpool lane, because in California, the carpool lane in a lot of places is right next to the wall. It's not carpool lane shoulder wall. It's just carpool. And so if there is an object in the road, which there frequently is in this city, You only have one way to swerve. Yeah. And you couldn't, and I'm telling you, these lights lit up maybe 60, 70 feet in front of the car. That's about it. Mm. And you had to use high beams otherwise. The high beams were fine, but like,
you just gotta
regular that road coming back, it was so dark, I couldn't see shit.
My Crown Vic has the same light feature, and it outdrives him.
The Lexus has awful lights, too.
I love my STI because it had a switch where you could adjust the lights.
Well, that's all the European cars do that. I don't understand why we don't have that.
There's something with the motor and the thing, but, I mean, you just turn some screws and adjust it. But that's very important for anybody.
It joins a long list. Both the Lexus and my Mustang have fucking terrible headlights. So now I'm
surprised by that, 1992.
I'll tell you what, those ones that they get, that Diode Dynamics and the Mod Bargain guys gave me, fucking great. I will never go back to having shit. I mean, I already had a pretty low tolerance for shitty headlights, but after that, Jesus Christ, there's no going back.
The ones I have in my Corvette are really, really bright.
Oh, yeah. Those are
the whole conversion on those.
Yeah, those are super bright.
Yeah.
What else? Was there anything interesting from Facebook before we get out of here?
Very few questions.
That's because we're lazy about posting it, frankly, and we had so many interesting things to talk about. I was like, fuck it.
M2 real quick.
Yeah, it's it's exactly what everyone expects it's going to be. It's 300 fucking whatever horsepower.
I was pleasantly surprised that they didn't do the ZF and they went with the dual clutch for the M2.
Oh, did they? I didn't actually read that. I just read manual and stopped reading.
So is that DCT or whatever in-house dual clutch?
Yeah, it's probably just about the same thing that's in the M3.
I imagine it would be. I would still get the manual. Anything interesting over there? No? Yeah, so there's an M2. As everyone knew there was an M2.
Looks pretty. It's probably
we saw it in Germany when we were there. We saw it driving around. It looks nice.
It looks a lot like an E46 to me.
I think it looks like a miniature version of the M4. Which is kind of
which I like because the M4 is too big.
Because the M4 is too big. It'll be nice. What's it going to be? 65 grand? 70 grand probably?
Which is too expensive.
No.
Yep.
Starts at 51.
So 65, 70 grand.
Well, yeah.
Well, do you want wheels?
Yeah.
Would you like...
You know what I'd like? Can I get... I want a seat. I want a passenger seat.
Made the joke with John yesterday. I'm like, the base one comes with wicker chairs.
Yeah, the Mercedes GLA I just had $15,000 worth of options on it. I have no idea what they are.
What was the total price on it again?
65.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Do you think
I feel like the options world has grown and like Porsche has been so successful. Do you think option packages have gotten more expensive and more cluttered with technology? Like, because we expect our shit to do more stuff?
I don't see.
So
do
they add stuff in, and we're like, I gotta have it.
Japanese cars or the American cars? It's definitely the German cars.
Germans, probably. I mean, it's profitable as fuck for Porsche.
I put my Focus RS order in, and they took my money last night. So I was on the list, but last night they sent me an email saying pay, and I had to click and pay. Put it on my Amex.
Points.
But yeah, so they took a deposit. So I wanted heated seats, but in order to get heated seats, I had to take leather.
Yeah,
which I didn't actually want, and I asked if they would custom do heated seats without leather, and they said no. So that's one thing I had to get. All I want, I couldn't do sink with cloth seats and cloth heated seats. I had to get full fucking leather, which was a little annoying. But
once you get it. You could get skins and somebody to swap it and probably sell it.
I know. What's
ones.
Her name from Catskin calls me 3 times a month asking when I want to redo the interior of some car.
Well, no, you could get it. You could just get the factory ones. Factory skins are not expensive.
Oh, that's
at
true.
All.
I could just order them from Ford.
Yeah. Find somebody that just bought one and just be like, here, give me $500 for these ones.
Trade them.
Give me
that's
yours.
A good point. It's a good point.
I had a maybe vegan want to swap it.
I'm sure I could find somebody who wants leather.
On the forum, absolutely.
Just on the podcast.
That seems like a headache, though, taking off skins.
I did it. My Subaru, just unzip them.
Really?
Pull the shit off, yeah.
Really?
It fits tight, but that's how I added bolstering. Yeah. Really wasn't that bad.
Usually the worst thing you get to do with seats is hog rings.
What's a hog ring?
It's just like, think of like a staple that curls around into a circle.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And you just need special pliers, but I have them. You can borrow them. It's really easy.
All right.
Basic
maybe.
Have Rick's kids do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. that's a good plan.
Matt was giving Rick a bunch of shit about the toe.
He put toe hooks on
his Corvette. Hooks on his Corvette.
Front and rear.
He's like, I'm going to go to the track. My logic is, if I have them, I won't need them. If I don't have them, they're going to rip the front end off my car when I ditch out into the
If he goes to the track a lot, it does make sense.
One of his kids looked at him and he's like, what's his last name?
Mr. Rio, yes. Mr. Radcliffe, if you make us take those back off next week, I'm going to be really mad.
I like that kid. I'm going to keep that kid.
Yeah.
He better track him, I guess.
I mean, I gave him a little shit because his car had tow hooks. I didn't think he should be so prepared to crash.
Yeah,
I don't like tow hooks.
Musto's got tow hooks on his Mustang. Musto's got slicks and a cage and shit. It only goes to the track.
Fine.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he caged it, too.
Four points.
Oh, so just
the bar, right? The GoPro mount on the front tow hitch.
He made a GoPro mount on there.
Nice little perspective.
I don't know. They were very red, those tow hooks. The black car, they're very red.
Yeah. I guess if you're going to have them, you want to be visible at the very least.
I guess. I have a thing against tow hooks. I think they look dumb.
Well, because we were in our 20s, early 20s, people put them on for style and never tracked because it was whatever. Their car was terrible.
Leave my Thule roof rack out of this.
But, like, I don't know.
I'm not talking about that.
Tow hooks, like, on Musto's car, you can just unscrew those. Mm. Like, there's a... All right, if you need to tow the car, you screw it in. Yeah, right?
Leave it in the glove box until you need it.
Jim Pierce gave me a tow hook when I got all the packaging from him.
Yeah.
And it is. It's just like an eyelet bolt.
You pop the thing out, you screw it in. Like, so if you need it, you can have it in the car, but like, you got to drive around with it.
But Musto cares zero about what anybody thinks about him. And I know that, but what he does care about is if he crashes into a wall, he wants to get away from the wall and away from speeding cars as quickly as possible. And he'll do this with his hands, and he'll be like, I don't want to sit there for very long. Bring the truck, put the toe in the thing, get me out. I don't give a shit what you think about my hooks.
Are you suggesting he talks with his hands?
A little bit.
Never.
His last name is Musto Pastellini.
All right. Where are you going, Vegas? You got to go to fucking Vegas?
I got to go to Vegas, launch that fucking company tomorrow.
Vegas stinks.
I hate it.
You going to go to Lotus or
flying
Siam,
or driving?
Flying.
You should go to Lotus.
Smart
Siam.
Move. What's that?
Go get Lotus of Siam, the best Thai food ever.
Are you staying at the fucking Excalibur?
No. This time I'm at Planet Hollywood. This all came out of the company.
I stayed at Planet Hollywood last time I was in Vegas. It was cheap.
I'm actually
$35 for a night or something. It was crazy cheap.
I'm staying at the Excalibur, but they've got half of it they redid.
Yeah.
It's actually not bad. So long as you ignore the rest of the establishment,
ignore the castle-like environment.
But, I'm there for work. I don't give a shit, you know?
Next time we go to Vegas, we're staying off the strip. We pretend like it's Phoenix. It's great fun. Totally.
What is the big hotel that's off the strip? Because I went there.
Palms.
There's that one. There's
South
another
Point.
One that I think it might have been South Point.
Yeah.
Is it the Hard Rock off the strip too?
I saw
it's like one block off the strip.
Yeah. I went and saw Bill Maher there a few years ago, and it was actually I was surprised. I'm like, this is a lot nicer than
South
I thought
Point
it would
is
be,
super you know? Nice.
Yeah.
It's just like it's quiet and it's off the strip.
Yeah.
Like, it's like 10 miles or 8 miles south of the strip. It's like right on the edge of Vegas, and the M is the other one that's over there that's nice and
quiet. Yeah, down in, Henderson, right?
It's not Henderson, but it's like whenever you come over that hill and you first see civilization, it's like there.
I suppose if you go into Vegas and all you really care about is gambling, that's a pretty good option.
No, we went there and we stayed there for a shoot because we were in the desert outside Henderson, and it was cheap as fuck. There was like $35, $40 a night, and the room was great, and the restaurant and the hotel was fine. It was just in the middle of nowhere. Besides that, it was like any other...
Yeah, I couldn't really complain. I only, for SEMA, I only paid like, I think it was like $140 a night.
That's like amazing for SEMA. SEMA and CES and all those, it's every room gets jacked up.
SLS wasn't bad either. SLS was $230, but, which is nice because it's just up the street from SEMA.
The most important thing if you're going to SEMA is not to go to SEMA. you really should avoid that. I ruined some guy's day. He was like, I'm going to SEMA for the first time. I'm like, ugh. Sorry.
He's like, what?
I think that was one of the greatest things someone asked me today about going to the LA Auto Show. I was best thing about the invention of the internet is I never have to go to the LA Auto Show or SEMA.
The one thing I like about SEMA is you do get to catch up with a bunch of people you don't get to see very often.
Yeah, and one out of 10 of those people I give a fuck about. I could name them right now. Art and Craig Morrison, Ring Brothers.
The money you spend and the time you spend to go to SEMA to see those people, you could probably fly to their house and hang out.
We could do a trip where we flew to all those people's homes and just drank, and that would be cheaper than going to Vegas.
We've been too much. If you've never been, I think it's cool. Go once, then don't go.
It's like Coachella.
It's like Comic-Con or any of these.
That's where the difference is for me.
I'm not going to SEMA and paying for booze, so my budget is way lower than it would be.
I think Vegas would be worse if you don't drink.
Yes.
What the fuck else would you do?
I will probably play
see
a
it for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I'm planning on maybe playing a little blackjack and in my off time going and killing time by going to a movie or something because I don't want to do the rest of Vegas.
I strongly recommend. Well, I mean, Lamar Odom recommends the Love Ranch in Pahrump. He had a great time there.
You know, I'll probably just go and see who's like what comedians are in town.
Somebody will be in town. Who's
guaranteed,
doing Vegas right now?
Guaranteed.
Worst case scenario, Chris Angel.
Carrot Top.
He'll be there.
That is the worst.
Carrot
Penn
Top.
And Teller are
he's
always
actually
there.
Pretty funny.
I heard Carrot Top is not bad.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I heard he's all right. And someone's doing a residency there that is really genuinely funny.
There's always a few comedians.
Penn and Teller does their thing.
I've actually never gone to Penn and Teller.
Oh, Penn and Teller is awesome. I've never been to Penn and Teller.
What's his name? The tall guy from Everybody Loves Raymond has a club.
Brad Garrett's comedy club.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good.
It's supposed to be a great show.
Yeah.
Is it in the basement of the
MGM? He has a comedy club there?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's supposed to be a really good club.
Really?
Yep.
I ran into him at Lucky Jeans in Malibu.
If Don Rickles is still there, you should go see
him. Dude,
I would love to see Don Rickles.
Guinea Favorito at the Flamingo. That's not a made up thing. I swear to God, this guy is the most amazing crowd work comedian I've ever seen in my life.
I hate crowd work.
He goes on stage with zero material. It's all fucking crowd work, and he does callbacks like 40 minutes. He's talked to 30 people in between. He'll do a 40 minute callback. Oh, it's like what Steve said over there. Like it's the mind work involved.
I can see it. Maybe I'm just so burnt out on
maybe you just have to be really
getting
high.
Lazy and doing crowd work.
This guy's not lazy. This guy's been playing Vegas for 30 years. He's like old school, like Benny Hill comic.
He's got to have like a 70. Mic in. He's got to have like an earpiece in, and like guys are like, yeah, John over there that said this thing.
No, dude, you love comedy and I love comedy. Yeah. You would enjoy this. I thought it was unbelievable.
Okay, Vinny Favorito.
Vinny Favorito at the Flamingo.
What the fuck? I'm not doing anything else there other than working.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably a cheap ticket. Whatever, go. Fucking great.
Totally.
There's probably like a shitty steak buffet that comes along with the ticket or something.
It's a Flamingo. You got to assume.
No, yeah, exactly. It's small. It's like probably like a 200 person theater. It's cool.
Oh, it's that small. I figured it'd be.
It's not. No, it's not 1,000 people. It's probably 200 people. It's sort of like comedy club, but like a showy comedy club environment. Okay. It's cool. You'd like that. Seriously.
See, the last time I was there, I actually stayed at the Flamingo, and this was 3 years ago. Amy Schumer was the headliner for the week,
really?
And I didn't get to go. But yeah, it's funny just how far she's gone in that short period of time.
I saw Eliza Schlesinger riding her bicycle down Venice Boulevard last night towards the water.
Yeah,
that ass was delicious looking. her Instagram is legit. Every other picture is her working out. That ass is delicious.
She's trying to get a superhero job. For real.
She wants that Marvel money?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's why you get, that's my opinion, if you want
to
get new
to
acting
avoid
jobs,
being Amy Schumer.
You do that. No, I mean, if you're going to get like shredded and posted all the time as a comedian, which is kind of weird, like you're probably after a job.
She's always been
smart.
Kinda,
it's marketing.
She's always been that way, though.
I don't know her very well.
I mean, I've just watched her stand up.
I've seen her stand up a bunch. She's always trying to look hot, but not look hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She picks those jeans that look fucking whatever, but actually make her ass look perfect.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Speaking of
female comedians,
worth
that ticket, $25.
I just watched Natasha Leggero's special.
Also hot.
Fucking great. Brilliant.
She was good really on what was on the fucking the Bieber roast? Was it the Bieber roast?
Yeah.
She was good.
She's a strong comic.
Yeah, she's funny.
Those roasts of the bar is. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I watched them to see the comics, not who's sitting there. I'm like, let's see what they say.
But like the Friars, man. Selling the rights to Comedy Central, like that was a fuck.
Did I know? I don't ever really recall a genuine Friars roast. What was the last of the Friars?
Probably
proper
6 or 7 years
Friars
ago.
Friars roasts.
Well, the Friars Club still exists, but the roast thing was sold to Comedy Central. So
the television rights, anyway.
Yeah.
They still do them.
Right.
Yeah, they still do them. I don't know.
Were they ever televised or recorded somewhere to
see
before?
Yeah, they got popular under
Comedy
the Friars
banner. When Comedy Central first started doing it for the first several years, it was still under the Friar branding.
Yeah.
Way back. I don't remember who
and
I don't
that's
who
when
was.
They were doing like actual
maybe,
comedians
on
and
YouTube?
Public figures.
What are you doing? Probably.
About to shit yourself over there? It's that hot that you're all right. Harrison's like
get your fan on.
Harrison's like squatting in front of the fan.
It's so humid at my house that the fans now mist water at you from the condensation and the humidity.
It's bad here the last couple of days. It's been really
it's
gross.
It's been like borderline Florida humid.
Yeah. And with that, Should we kill it? Here we go. Yeah, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know this drill by now.
It's
not. Swings Our Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. You just need a microphone, a computer, and an internet connection better than the one we have here at the office. And, yeah. Bye.